nosotros de Jautén, que sean esos niños de Jautén coming. We are all stuck now, and everybody knows the meeting today is mainly to deal with one issue and one issue only, the interaction with the Gauteng province and its metals. Maybe that's to give a background so that everybody understands why we arrived at this decision. That when the department, I mean national department, was presenting to us its quarter reports from quarter one to quarter three ending in December in terms of its performance, the portfolio committee became a bit concerned about the performance of the Gauteng province. And I want to say upfront, you are not the worst performing province, but you are not bad. The reason why you are being called here is that the province before you, which is number one, before you, we had already done an oversight visitation, which is Limpopo. We were in Limpopo in December and January. So we've deducted that province and we have recommendations around it. So the next province, therefore, in terms of performance, has come there. That's why then we felt it important that we must call you. You come, we interact, we understand how can we assist, and you can tell us your challenges and your frustrations. So that's the basic cause of this meeting. The way we are going to conduct it, we are going to allow the province to present, and then after the province has presented, we will then give the opportunity to the metros to do some additions. And then after those additions, then the honorable members, we will ask questions of clarity and questions. And then we will get into a debate. The nice part about the meeting is that the national department is here. So you've got nothing to hide. So we know. So just tell us, you know, and be open about it. So that's what we're going to be doing today. I trust that the whole effort and the whole exercise is going to help us improve the service delivery. Because that's the main objective at the end of the day. By the way, my name is Notoy Mafu. I'm the secretary of the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement, in case you don't know who you speak. And what then we will do, we are not going to allow the introduction from the honorable members. As they speak, they will introduce themselves, so you will know them. So everyone is going to say, I'm honorable professor, and then they'll speak. So you will get to know them as we interact. And I thought it's important that you know that there is only one member of the committee, honorable member, who is not well in terms of apologies. I send an apology, and I think she is the only one that is not in this meeting. Otherwise, the committee is in full complement, waiting eagerly to hear from you what you're going to be telling us. So I'm going to hand over to the MEC, who then is going to introduce his delegation and do the opening remarks, and then, as I have explained, without any waste of time, because we want to have enough time to interact, I'm going to hand over to MEC, who is going to tell you who he is. I don't know his name. I don't know that he is an MEC. Mr. Jacob Mabu.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Mabu. And all honorable members present, I'd like to convey our sincere greetings from the Department of Human Settlements, and of course also welcoming our mentors. My name is Jacob Mamabulo. I'm the MEC responsible for Human Settlement and COPTA in the province of Gauteng. And of course, as Chair already indicated, we are joined by our three mentors. I'd like to acknowledge them. Our HOD, who will link the presentation. Irving Masheng appointed just when I came in as part of standardizing the leadership, the management of our new CFO with her, and of course she introduced the whole team. She allowed me to acknowledge Minister's advisor, Advocate Mirani, and of course the CEO of our national department. And all present, all protocol observed, hope I observed it. Now let me start by just putting on record my apology that I've conveyed to the chair in writing prior to the invitation that I'm traveling out of the country tonight, and I appreciate to be released before 2 o'clock, anytime around that time. And I'm quite sure that if I was to leave before the meeting concludes this discussion, there will be a team led by MNCs and, of course, our HOD to make sure the meeting gets a quality outcome from us. Now, as you said, and of course, you immediately went into the issues, I appreciate that I should make few remarks without being long to allow the presentation, which will not be lost, so that we can interact with the consents of members. And I'd like to say it on record that we appreciate being here. This is a democratic institution. We account to the portfolio committee, who understand that money very well. We, I'm not sure if I could say, still say I'm new in the portfolio, referring to learning. We are here to learn. And I think the work that will be done today, we welcome it as part of building a good department. So I really appreciate being here, and I'm speaking on behalf of our MMCs and our HOD, that it is remarkable that we're invited to give an account of our work. Now, the first thing Honorable Chair to make is Honorable Premier David Makua made his state address at the province of Gauteng during the State of the Province address.
I don't want to interrupt the Honorable MEC, but I think it's fair that he introduced the team that he's with before he starts telling us what the Premier said, so that we know who is in the House and who's not in the House. But imagine MMCs and also the MMC from Joburg. So at least if we can know who's here and who's not here.
So you want to see the face at the end, right? No, to hear the name. Okay. Over to you.
Yes, sorry about that, Chair. I accept the request from the Honourable Member, especially the MMC of Joburg. I know Honourable Member come from that part of the country. Honourable Chair, I introduced our HOD Deputy Machine, who is going to do the presentation on behalf of the department. And I've introduced our Chief Financial Officer, Unachi Noveni.
Let them introduce themselves quickly. Yeah. Right. Quickly, the delegation from Gauteng. Starting from here, can you introduce yourself?
Thanks, Chair. Good morning. I'm
Unachi Noveni, CFO for Gauteng Human
Settlements. Thank you, Chair. I'm Daphne Washing. I'm the HOD for Human Settlements in Gauteng.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning. My name is Enoch Ben, Chief Director of the Department of Human Settlements in Gauteng.
Metro? So that's the problem. Can we then go to the Metro?
Okay. MMC is responsible for human settlement in Ekurhuleni.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Andy Lamalaluji. I'm the Head of Department of Enterprise Project Management Office in Ekurhuleni.
Greetings. My name is Tila Matondo. I'm from Ekurhuleni Metro in EPMO Department.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Flavia Slade. I'm from the Finance Department in Ekurhuleni Metro. Chair and honorable members, my name is Funani Matlazi. I'm the Divisional Head of Finance in the Ekurhuleni, but I human settlements. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Fihile Silva. I'm Divisional Head for Strategy and Planning Ekurhuleni Human Settlements.
Done. So, in other words, Honorable Ghana, the two metros are not here. There's only one metro that is here, according to the introduction. I think we can deal with that later. The city of Johannesburg and the city of Tshwane are not here. But can we continue anything?
Thank you very much. I was still saying that we are very much pleased to say to the committee that Premier David Mankura delivered his State of the Province address, and that was followed by the budget speech of the MEC of Finance, Honorable Barbara Chris. The reason why I'm mentioning these two points is because for the first time in the immediate history of the Department of Human Settlement in the province, our department has been quite strategic and very profound in the position it occupies in the State of the Province addressed by Premier and MEC of Finance. Those who have had the opportunity to interact with the Premier State of the Province address in the budget speech, we have seen that what the Premier presented in his vision, at the core of it is human settlement development and what we call building post-apartheid cities in Gauteng. And of course, building Gauteng as an integrated single city region, which impacts and cuts across municipal funds within 16 provinces. Our programs are going to impact across, even beyond the borders of Gauteng. That vision, Chair, reaffirms the work that we have done as a department since we have came in. I'm here to announce to honorable members that since we came in, there are two important things that we've been doing. One of them is that you know that Gauteng, since around 2010, 2011, has been having a rapid increase in the state of civil service delivery protests, particularly violent protests. So when we came in, we had to work very hard to restore confidence in communities, basically to convey to them the principle of the commitment of government to interact with them, to meet their demands, to address their concerns. That's what I'm standing here pleased to say. I think we've done exceptionally well in interacting and engaging with our communities, which was the top priority that was given to us by Honorable Premier Magdalene Makura. There are still remnants of the part of violent protests that are lingering in the province, but in general we've done very well, and I'm satisfied that we have restored confidence interaction with many of the communities. Honorable members might be aware, many areas where protest arises, they don't even last for more than 2 or 3 days. We engage, we interact with them. Of course, we can't stop protests. Those rights are guaranteed in the Constitution. We're worried about the violent nature of the protest. But from where we are sitting, when they erupt, we interact with them, we engage with them. And I'm very much pleased that housing is very stable currently. We had one almost protest of state over 2 days, which was in Temerike. We talk to the community as we speak. The community of Temerike has returned stability. We continue to talk to communities, and I will go into details if members would want to engage on this point. But I'd like to place on record that I'm pleased that working with our municipalities, we have done very well to restore confidence with communities, and that we'll continue to work with them. The second thing that we have done since we came in, very important, is that we have inherited a department that was almost near collapse in terms of performance, audit outcome compliance, and a number of other issues. For example, in the process that we came in, we have stabilized the leadership and management of the department. We have appointed an HOD. I found the series of people active. We have appointed a CFO. We have advertised 2 DDG posts. We have 2 on the structure. We have advertised to be shortlisting. Very soon in April, we will have 2 new DDGs. The process is on track. Our structure has received approval from DPSA to allow us to do those advertisements. And as I said, we have a new CFO. We are appointing head of procurement, because since I came in, Honorable Chair, 3 senior managers resigned, 2 DDGs and head of supply chain. So I just want to say to honorable members that It was very much important that we stabilize top management and leadership of the department, and I'm very much pleased with that part. Secondly, you would know, Honorable Chair, that the health outcomes of the department were a big problem, and we're working on those issues. The other important thing that we have done is since September last year, we convened one of the most historic meetings with all our municipalities. And this is very important for the discussion we are going to have. We started a conversation with our municipalities around September. We held a meeting in City Bay. And the MMCs are here, the two of them will confirm this conversation. That conversation was about making sure that we have a risk-based plan in the municipalities. We plan together, we execute together, and we move together, because the problem in the past has been municipalities have been doing their own thing that way. But I'm very much pleased that on the 7th of April this year, we will be signing memorandum of understanding between the provincial government led by the premier with all of our 12 municipalities. We will be signing an MOU. And what is the content of that MOU? It's basically to drive the new vision that we have adopted for our province. We'll be launching it on the 7th of April with the municipalities. And this contains the new direction we are taking, which, as I said, is summarized in the premier state of the province address. So we have worked with our municipalities. We have had no less than 4 meetings with each one of them to put together a vision to build new cities and to address some of the challenges that we have in the province. The reason why we are signing MOU with the municipalities is because we want to secure cooperation on the usage or spending of the urban community development grants, the USDG. I'm very much pleased, and the COO and the advisor of the minister can confirm. Minister is the last meeting, we all agreed. We need a set of new protocols on how we are going to work with USDG, which will allow MECs to have an input into how municipalities are spending the grants. That's in our province coming very well, because we have made progress in the last 4 months as to how are we going to work together in the new financial year. That, I can assure you, Honourable Member, is going to increase the capacity of the province to work together and to deliver on the human settlement targets. And I think this point is very much a key. Any understanding you might see on the USDG in municipalities, lack of coherent implementation and execution between us and them, as I mean the provincial sphere and the local sphere, that issue will be addressed by the MOU that we are going to enter into. Last night, we had a meeting with the private sector at Emperor's Palace, a very good meeting, successful meeting, with all private providers or private property management companies. They turned up, very good meeting we had. That meeting, they agreed. They will pledge to work with the provincial government and the municipalities to drive our new vision of building new cities whilst completing the current legacy projects. That meeting was very successful. Now, that is why we are confident that the commitments by government to achieve human settlement opportunities, almost 1.5 million in the next 5 years, that all the conversations we have had, especially with the private sector, the statement of pledges we get from the private sector and the MOUs that we will sign, all of that will make Gauteng a completely dynamic new province that should be able to create human settlement opportunities for our people. If there were time, I'll summarize what's here, but I want to conclude my remarks by also saying that we have briefed our portfolio committee in the province about the new vision that we have to turn around in a settlement function. All the political parties in the portfolio committee, without exception, said, MEC, we have been calling on you to give us a vision. Now we have a vision. The difference is about details, how realistic it is, whether it will be implemented, is another debate. But at least you have articulated a vision for us. And that vision is expressed in the premier state of the province address, and of course confirmed by the budget in the Ministry of Finance budget. So the last few points is that with respect to the meeting today, the meeting of today was necessitated, as you said, by the presentation that was made to the portfolio committee. I think it was in and around February about the quarterly report. I had the opportunity to read the statement that was released, the media statement that was released by the portfolio committee. And I want to say to honorable members, there are two issues. One is outcomes of healthy province. You may be aware that in and around 2018, the Department of Gauteng Province experienced a huge hailstorm, which caused devastation in the city of Swani, mainly in and around Johannesburg and the West Rand. The HOD will speak the overall figure of that, but the COO here can confirm we had to revise our targets for the current financial year with more than 52%. We had to cut one year because the money that was not budgeted for, which would have delivered human settlement opportunities, was then redirected into the hailstorm program. Attached to that hailstorm program was a huge amount, about 500 million or so, which was spent on doing an assessment of the existence of what is called asbestos roofing in Gauteng province. The two amounts combined drastically reduced our capacity to create human settlement opportunities in Gauteng province. And that's why, with more than 50%, we can't revise our targets. That is why you will see, in terms of outcomes, that expenditure is at a particular level. And let me start speaking on expenditure because these two issues are related. One of the things that worried honorable members was about whether we will spend the 4 billion plus, 4.4 billion plus allocated to us. Sitting here, I want to say that we have resolved that matter. Remember when you were in this matter, it was around, it was the financial report of the third quarter. At that point, indeed, we're very low, but this is because, on average, and I'm qualifying it on average, we do about 400-300 million per month if we have submitted and got all our invoices. So if you look at December as a quiet period, and of course, you look at January, February, by the time you met, you held your meeting, we went around 1.4 billion debt. And they were indicating a potential lower expenditure or surplus that could have been returned to treasury. But as we sit here today, I'm pleased to announce to honorable members that in terms of beds, and of course what has been submitted to provincial treasury, we have about 3% potential underspent. That excludes, it's about 120 plus million. That excludes the invoices that were submitted. We still have this whole week to submit invoices, but from where we are sitting, we have submitted all our invoices to provincial treasury. And if there's anything that might need us to still reconcile, do a reconciliation, we can do it this week to reach the target date for closing the financial year. Actually, what worries us, honorable member, is not whether we will spend the money or not. We have part of it. What worries us is the potential of accruals in the next financial year, because we do not have enough money to cover all our invoices. The other thing that I've requested management to make sure we don't do is to overspend, because that will get us into trouble with auditors. So we have to navigate spending all our money and avoiding overspending. And the two things is what we are catching up now. But from where I'm sitting, the big issues are the accruals. Some of these accruals, honorable chair, come from the hailstorm itself, because there was a very strange agreement there that some 5% of the actual costing and bills that invoices that come from a service provider, 5% of that must be retained, which is likely to run into the next financial year. The 5% billing, and I think the details can be clarified. I hope I got it correct. But I'm saying the debate has passed potential overspending, underspending, and we are careful not to overspend, because that will create problems. We have put in place, so the level of congruence between, or the disparity between target and spending lies in the issue of hailstorm. So the two will be together. I wanted to clarify honorable members on that. And this is another way we inherited. Over the last 2 days, there was a big hailstorm in Gauteng. And I can assure honorable members I was deeply worried about that, because, and yesterday at MEC of Oscar, We did an assessment with all the municipalities to check, are there cases of hailstorm damage reported, because this would have a recurrence of what happened before. And our emergency services assured me that they have not received claims of any hailstorm in the current period. So what I'm saying is, we are entering the new financial year, hopefully without a new hailstorm damage and claims against government. What we're looking for, the help we could get is there a situation where this issue of emergencies, damages, we face the fires in the informal settlement, as and when that happens, we have to let us our budget. All these issues, and if you look at the nature of housing, honorable care, it has a big number of human settlements that are highly dense, highly populated, close to each other. We are going into the June drought in the winter period. We are likely to have problems in informal settlements. When that happens, everybody looks at human settlement. And I think the issue of apartment deals with the agencies, and of course, redressing those departments that we have committed unexpected expenditure. It's a matter that I think we should look at, because when crisis occur, like it happened in Kaya Sand, we have to respond. We have launched a program management office, a centralized PMO office, which is going to augment and improve the technical capability of the department to deliver human service. Honorable Chair, our department currently does not have the required capability and heads to make sure that we get help to build technical capability within the department, to improve our performance and to meet targets. That capability we have put on PMO office is also investigating all the irregular things that have happened, non-compliance, corruption, it's also investigating irregular expenditure, all sorts of violations of principles and law. So we also want to make sure that our department, in terms of compliance with PFMA, with Public Service Act, both critical pieces of legislation, that we are in full compliance. And this PMO office we have put in place is going to help us do that. Because currently, the department is sitting with a massive number of service providers, subcontractors, what is called PRTs, lots of them across the department. The management of those, their performance and output, is not up to the point we want it to be. We will be influencing, as part of the challenge of the department, service level agreements. Over and above signing contracts, we will want our service provider to sign service level agreements, which are agreements purely about performance, quality, and targets. And those who will start the new financial year with, and make sure that our service providers perform. And this also, honorable day, affects the 30-day period of payment for our service providers. So this issue of setting up a centralized PMO is going to help us a lot to basically clean the department. We have asked Honorable Minister in the last MINMEC that the province of Gauteng is the biggest recipient of the HSBG, and that in the 3 months starting April, May and June, we will ask the Honorable Minister of the Portfolio Committee to allow us to just tie up and finalize the program management offices, an instrument to improve technical performance of the department. What we are asking for, Jay, is that at the end of the first quarter in the next financial year, which will be around June, July, that during that period our report should be able to demonstrate a completely new province, Department of Housing, with better capability to plan, to implement, and to execute, working with municipalities, working with the private sector, to make sure that the commitments of government to deliver human settlements are achieved. I'm sorry I took time, but I thought let me clarify and make these remarks, demonstrating our commitment to be the better province, with the bigger problems compared to many. Thank you.
Thank you very much, MEC. You really like to plead your case. We appreciate the effort. We're going to hear from the HOD when she presents what you have pleaded, tallies with what she's going to be presenting. But before that, I thought, Mr. Changana, is there anything you want to say before HOD of the province presents?
No, Chair, let's go straight into it.
Thank you very much. HOD, you prepare welcome, MEC. You will have the opportunity to introduce yourself when we give the opportunity to let us to add on the presentation. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will go straight into the presentation. I must say that the way we prepared the presentation was in line with the letter that we received. We tried to respond to each and every point that has been raised in the letter. For the municipality, there was one question on the USDG for the financial and the non-financial documents, but for the province, there was a number of questions that were raised. So in the introduction, just to recap for everyone what the issues that were raised in the letter are. This is based on the third quarter report that was presented to the portfolio committee and the fact that the metro, in as far as the USDG and the department in terms of HSDG were not performing as they are expected to. The letter requested that we should talk about the delivery and expenditure on the HSDG, the delivery and expenditure on the urban settlement development grant, the performance on social and rental housing, the performance on mining towns, the delivery performance on rectification, and the delivery performance on other milestones of the operational expenditure budget. But the committee also requested that you should present challenges that are relating to those matters. I'll start with the first one, which is delivery and expenditure on the HSDG. The total allocation that we received for Gauteng was 4.4 billion. And as at the 31st of December, that is as at the end of the third quarter, we were at 2.7 billion expenditure, and we had a total balance of 1.6 billion to spend in the third quarter. The fourth quarter. And the total expenditure, we've tried to also give an account of what happened post the report that was presented here at the portfolio committee, so that we can update the committee. But this is as at the 12th of March, which was last week. The situation has changed, like the NEC has mentioned earlier. We were left with 632 million rand to spend. But as yesterday, Chairperson, because we're monitoring our expenditure daily, we left with about 126 million rand to spend. The targets that we had set initially were at 34,668. That was the initial original target that we were contracting with the National Department on. But because of a problem that the MEC has mentioned of hailstorm and asbestos assessment that we had in the province, we've had to revise our targets. And at first we tried to revise them by 50% like the MEC has mentioned, but the National Department did not accept it. So we've had to reduce our targets. We had a revised adjusted business plan that we had to submit, and we reduced our targets to 25,406, and at least that was accepted by the National Department. An actual performance as of 31st December in terms of the third quarter report, we were at 12,633, which put us at 71% for houses and 30% for sites. But as at the 12th of March, we looked at the sites that we had already done. It did not move much, but it was a few hundred more than what we had. Because in December we had 2,293, and in March we had 2,534 for the sites. But for the houses as well, it did not move much. And we looked at work in progress, which is work that we think can be reported in the fourth quarter. And we divided it into three. There are those units that are completed but are awaiting quality assurance, and we've got about 1,195. And there are those that are at wall plate, and those two we are sure that combined they will be done by the end of March. But those houses that are still at foundation, probably at the end of March, they will be at wall plate level. the challenges that we experience in the HSDG delivery. I just want to add to what the MC has said, to say that yes, the rectification of the hailstorm damage that we experienced in Gauteng, it was a huge storm, and it actually affected three of our regions, and it cost us to the region of 587 million. And when we look at the assessment that was also done, that has cost us 518 million, and together they put us closer to 1.1 billion. The other challenge that we experienced was that when we got into the department, we had a number of contracts that had expired, and we felt instead of just paying on expired contracts, we have to go through a process of regularization of making sure that those contracts are valid and payable. And that has caused a big problem for us, because contractors went all over to complain that they're not being paid, they're not being paid within 30 days. I think within the period of September and November, there was a big problem all over. Contractors were going, whoever could listen, they would go to them and say that they're not paid on time. But I must say that come December and henceforth, we managed to process those claims based on contracts that are now valid and payable. And we looked at the problem of disaster, and we have agreed that disaster is a competency of COCTA, and we will refer those emergencies and those disasters to COCTA in the 15-16. And the minister has actually said that he does not want to see HSDG being spent on disasters ever again. And the project of assessment of asbestos roofs, whatever was done, but we are not continuing with that project. I think the provincial government, if they want to continue with the Department of Asbestos Assessment, we have to find a different department to continue with it. The performance on social and rental housing. The annual target that we had was 2,265, and it was revised down to 616 for the same reasons of budget constraints. And actual performance to date, 181, as at December was 181, and then as at the top of March it was 261. The GPF, which is Housing Partnership Fund, is the delivery agent for the Department for Affordable Rental and Social Housing. And unfortunately, in the budget of 2014-2015, they were not included in the original approved departmental business plan. And we only managed to allocate funds to them when we were doing the budget revision around October, hence the low numbers in the delivery. And for the new financial year, we have made sure that we do proper allocations for GPF in terms of their five-year strategy that has been approved by the department. Performance and mining towns. We have three mining towns, which is Western Area, Merafong, and Randfontein. And we looked at each area separately and the projects that were set for each area. In Bekkersdal, there was a project of eradication of informal settlements, and at that stage, the PRC was asked to do some investigations of whether we should do upgrading in situ or not, and they are not yet done, even today. I know that the target was that they should be done by the 20th of February, but they're not yet done in establishing whether we can upgrade some of those informal settlements in situ. And in the meantime, what we have decided to do is that those that can be moved to Western Area Borough will be moved to Western Area Borough, because we're not yet sure of the soil conditions in that area of Afghanistan. The repair of high mast lights, we have set aside 1.5 million of that. We sought some quotations for various solar lighting, but we wanted to participate in a tender that in other state organs
where they had already done that tender to avoid the long protracted procurement processes. But after procuring, you still have like a 6 weeks lead time to procure the high mass light. So that project as well has not moved. And as far as the urban renewal program in Western area, the current water and sand pipes, we have increased the numbers. We work with the municipality there to give them the money and to get them to increase the sand water and pipes. And some of the expenditure that has happened in urban renewal program is that of mass cleaning program of the Bakersdale Township, which happened sometime in July, and we managed to procure some garbage trolleys and those bins, trolley bins that remove the waste. The bulk cleaning waste management, we have entered into a funding agreement with the city of Johannesburg, and we will be transferring the 3 million rand to them to assist COJ with waste management. They will be using one of their agents, which is Pick It Up, which is one of their municipal-owned entities. The temporary sanitation in Bakersdale, we have provided sanitation there, but we are also looking at environmentally friendly, they call them waterless toilets. It's just that for the temporary toilets that have been provided in Bakersdale, we have not allocated the expenditure properly, so it does not appear under that line item, but the adjustment will be made before the end of the financial year. In Randfontein, the water reservoir, which is going to assist us in the project that is one of our mega projects in Drogheuvel, is in the process of being scoped, and it will commence in the new financial year. The eradication of the bucket system, a similar approach is being explored here, where we're looking at those waterless toilets. In Badirile, we did not put any budget for it. We will look at it in the next financial year. In Rafong, we had a project of eradication of human settlements. We are finalizing the construction of the top structures. They have not gone through quality assurance yet, but that will be done by the end of this financial year. So maybe in my accounts, I must say that there was a bit of a confusion at the beginning on what the funds can be used for, but once we managed to establish that, we started reallocating funds in terms of the expenditure in our budget. The performance on other milestones, that is now on our operational budget. We used the bulk of our offset for some of the check fires that we experienced in housing. We had two areas, that was Slovo Park and Kayadens, where we experienced check fires, and that had a dent on our ops cap. The costs that are relating to rates and taxes are as a result of the hostels that we have that are completed but not yet handed over, and that also increased our cost of security because we had to secure the hostels. And the reason why we have not allocated most of the hostels, especially in the Johannesburg region, is that we did not finalize the services. The services in those hostels are not yet finalized. So we're not even able to hand them over to the municipality until we have installed the services. The rental costs for regional offices, when the regional offices were established, I don't think that we anticipated the high rate of rental costs for the offices, and that has affected our ops cap. The legal costs that are incurred in preventing legal invasions and also to deal with eviction, that is land management issues, have gone up a bit because lately vacant land has been targeted for invasion by a number of groupings. The lease cost for temporary residential units, when we renovate the hostels, we have to lease the temporary residential units so that we can detend and take people out of the hostels and put them in those temporary residential units and abolition facilities. So our offset is really depleted. We tried to negotiate with national as to whether we can increase our off-cap, but we had no luck. What we have tried to do in order to improve on the delivery of human settlements in housing, we have looked at our delivery model, and we have looked at all the elements that underpin the human settlements delivery. And we have agreed, like the MEC has said, that we are going the route of a mega project, which means that we're looking at scale. And if we do that, it will reduce our management costs because we are doing our management centrally through the PMO. And once we have packaged those projects, they will then be delivered at the regional level. We have looked at the finance model that we have, and yes, we have agreed that with the resources that we have, it will not be efficient, so we will have to engage the private sector and work with them closely. We have looked at the capacity of the department to deliver on our mandate, and we have realized that we need to do something about the qualifications of the people that work with us. We will improve their skills of project management so that they can know that when a project is about to expire, they should inform legal and they should do the necessary things of making sure that contracts are always valid. We will be strengthening the capacity of the PMO and of the regions. We have seconded people to the PMO so that when our consultants leave, we have capacity in house. We have also looked at the service delivery model and adopted a teamwork approach, which is something that if you rally people around a matter, it gets resolved better than if people are working in silos. We have also adopted the integrated planning approach, and we have strengthened our intergovernmental relations, especially with municipalities, so that when we plan, you will see in the past that when we come with USDG, they are moving with, when we come with HSDG, they are moving with USDG to a different direction. We've also explored the models to incentivize the private sector investment in mega projects, and it is something that still needs to be refined, and we will see how we can work together with the private sector. But also of importance, we have worked very hard to look at what is it that we can do to get an unqualified audit outcome. In conclusion, for the province, some of the programs that we have looked at to improve our delivery model and to ensure that we reach our target is that we do have a number of infill sites that don't require a bulk infrastructure because the infrastructure is already there, and we will explore those infill sites and see if we can put some units there. We also have fully serviced size program that we will be launching to make sure that those people that can build for themselves, we can facilitate the process of making sure that they get fully serviced size, and we will assist them with the building packages that they can then take on. And then we are also going to look at the employer-assisted housing. We have been approached by the DPSA to pilot the employer-assisted housing, and it is something that we would like to do. We have also partnered with some of the private sectors. For an example, Acelo Meetup wants to build houses for their employees in Citibank region, and they have approached us. We will be working with them. Harmony Gold is a mining house. They have donated infrastructure which is worth over 200 million, and they want to build houses for their employees. We will be working with them. So the employer assisted program will also include our government employees, which is something that we want to take on with DPSA. The revised rental housing model, some of the buildings that we have in the city. We have been approached by people who hold those buildings. We want to look into sectionalized titles, that is for ownership, and also look at accelerating the rental housing model, the rental housing in Gauteng. Social housing will be accelerated. It is one of our areas that is very important for the target market that we have in the subsidy regime, but it was a bit neglected in the past, and we have agreed with our implementing agent, which is GPF, that we will accelerate social housing. The issue of CRUs, this is still at early stages where we are still trying to discuss how we can improve on the delivery of hostels and how we can make sure that with the resources that are allocated to CRU, we can have a hybrid model, because sometimes some of those people that live in the hostels are not necessarily, are actually in the subsidy, they belong in the subsidy quantum of people that live in our DNG houses. The private sector partnerships, I've talked about it, and the urban renewal. We have added one urban renewal program, which is Cape Town. We've had five urban renewal programs, but we've added one. It will be one of our flagship projects for 15-16. The revitalization of mining towns will also be given prominence. Chair, that ends the presentation for the provincial department. I will now move to Ekurhuleni. The Ekurhuleni Metropolitan Municipality was allocated $1.9 billion in USDG, but that includes the $31.5 billion that was a rollover from 2013-14. The total USDG expenditure as at the 6th of March was $640 million, and that represents 32.27% of the total budget for 2014-15. The total expenditure, when we add the commitment, that was $695 million. That represents 35.1% of the budget. And as of the 9th of March, the unspent funds of the USDG is $1.2 billion. USDG has been, USDG has been divided into a number of departments within the municipality, and the biggest chunk goes to health and social development at 48.93%, and followed by human settlements at 28, sorry, by transport at 30%, and human settlements at 28%. And real estate at 27.5.2%. You will see when we get to the expenditure that some departments spend faster than others. The waste management department, their total actual spend, I think, must be the lowest after the human settlement. We have a program of chemical toilets that has been introduced in the informal settlement, and that is at 43.86%. And FBAT, which is the municipal entity that deals with wastewater treatment, have actually spent the whole allocation of their 50 million rand. Now, looking at the challenges that the metro experienced and the remedial measures, firstly, the challenges. The metro is in the process of reviewing their procurement processes, and the introduction of the new SCM committee has slowed down on the finalization of this, I think, because of people still having to adjust to having been newly appointed. The loss of technical capacity, there has been some attrition. Engineers and project managers have left the municipality, and that has left a gap. The institutional review process that they are busy with as a council and has also added to the challenges that resulted in poor expenditure. The remedial measures that I looked at is that They have set up PMOs in each and every department. And all the PMOs that they have set up are at operational stage. They are already implementing the projects that are in the system, and they do their planning and monitoring centrally in those PMOs. EMM has sourced external service providers to carry out this function as an implementing agent. Now, this will give you the non-financial performance for UNDG funded projects in the metro. Acquisition of land for new human settlements, the expense is 3.2 million. You will see that the first few phases of planning and scoping and traffic impact assessments, EIAs have already been completed. And I think at this point the item is with the council for approval. But that 16.2 million rent will be used for acquisition of land for new settlements. And then if you look at the individual sites that they are procuring, Waterfontein will be about 32 million, and guarantees have been issued for this, and the matter is almost finalized. But for Driefontein, 77 million, the matter has already been finalized, and the property has been transferred and registered in the name of the municipality. The servicing of sands in Balmoral, 35 million will go towards that, and two projects will be used as a pilot project. The municipality has brought DBSA as technical capacity to assist them in the designs of the project and in the project packaging for 1516. SLA will be signed with DBSA. Delville and Fire Station Shell Housing Project, 54 million that has been put aside for that, and DBSA will proceed with the design and construction project management for those two projects. The pre-planning fees for 44.8 million. Those milestones were not met, and that is due to the checking of the contract value that has been allocated to the service providers. But to expedite the approval processes, there have been a number of interventions by the Human Settlements Department and City Planning to make sure that they accelerate those processes. The refurbishment of rental properties at 7.2 million is at 99% completion. The urban renewal projects of Wadzil, Katuras, and Katuras were also allocated small amounts of 2.8 and 2.5 each. And these were not met also for the same reasons that they are awaiting the SLE to be signed with DBSA. The Leopold development for the bio infrastructure at 80 million, the commencement of the project was delayed, but the public participation processes and the signing of the service level agreement were actually commenced with by the municipality. The disclosure that I was talking about earlier, to say that USDG and HSDG in the past 5 years was not necessarily aligned, you will see that where there are size and units, there is actually no link. This is one of the reasons why we have to strengthen the intergovernmental relations. The table above illustrates that the provincial government actually allocated only 12% of the project costs that the municipality is implementing. So you will see that also they have some constraints from our side as well. And of the 2,455 unfunded units that can be delivered, only 305 are funded. EMM HSDG program overview, that is just to give you that if funds were made available to EMM, they would be able to expand their performance to up to 4,000 units. That is beyond five projects that they are currently implementing, and that is the list that they have provided. Now, I will quickly go to the city of Tshwane. city of Sanya was allocated $1.4 billion in USDG, and as at the end of the third quarter, they spent $528 million, which translates into 35.9% as at the 31st. The bulk of the budget for USDG goes to human settlement in Swani, which is 57%, and then water and sanitation as well as electricity gets 17% each, transport gets 8%, and the cemeteries gets 1%. And previously they had, they had some rollover from 13-14, but it was only in the housing and human settlements department, the rollover of 23 million, and in water and sanitation, a rollover of 4.5 million, and in cemetery, the rollover of 16 million. But there was no allocation made for cemeteries in this financial year. The financial performance per department, road and stormwater is the lowest spending department, but acquisition of land, which falls within human settlements, is at 28%, and total housing is at 17%. The highest performing department is the Department of Wastewater Treatment Work, which is at 92%, and the total USDG service infrastructure is at 59%. The electricity department is sitting at 58%, and you will see that that is divided between Electricity for All and the Swami Public Lighting Program. The transport department is sitting at 73%, and the total, if you take an average from all of those departments, they are sitting at 43% as at the 28th of February.
Actually, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want you to time yourself. You should be finished by 11.
Okay. I'll just go through the summaries of the city of Johannesburg. Thank you, Chair. The city of Johannesburg is sitting at, is it 21%? Yes, it's sitting at 21% of total USDG, but of importance, the housing department is sitting at 13%, but one of the highest spending departments is community development. So I'm not going to go into the details of expenditure per department, but their allocation was $1.6 billion, and the actual expenditure as at the end of the third quarter was $286 million, and they have some commitments of $64 million, which then puts them at 21%. The land acquisition or the land purchases, that is the budget, and that is the expenditure at $9.6 million. And this is just giving you the details of where in the areas are they doing the internal services and any other projects that they are doing in the housing department. Okay, Chair, I'll just go to, okay, sanitation is also important, which is water and sanitation. Roads and stormwater, I just want to go to the summary quickly. Okay. The key challenges that they had is a similar problem that looks like that one of the Kuruleni, which is procurement delays, land event acquisition processes, and the problem with capital planning. The link is the same, and I think, let me see, okay. So I just want to go to the conclusion of the USDG to say the three metros still have at least 3 months, and in our IGR, they did say that they will be in a position to spend the money that has been allocated to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much, HOD. Without any waste of time, let me go to Ebogeni and see if they want to do any additions. operative if we ask questions. Ms. Duba.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members of the committee. MEC, I think, would have covered almost what one would have loved to say, especially in relation to coordination and integrated way of working, which is important moving forward. But I thought it's important just to re-emphasize, Chair, the remedial actions that would have put a good lane in relation to our inability to spend, especially at the level in which we are in the USDG expenditure. As a result of the procurement processes, as it was under review, and that delayed the process, the initial review, which was delayed as a result of a number of consultations that had to take place. But we've put those systems in place. We are confident where we are that we can be able to spend 90% towards the financial year. I think that's the comfort that we can be able to bring to the committee outside the challenges that we still are facing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ekuruleni. Johannesburg, City of Johannesburg.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Greetings, everyone. I hope my apology.
No, I'm not last by you doing things yourself.
Okay, I am one actually. Both the MEC and the City of Johannesburg. I'm not really going to be long. The MEC has covered a lot on the emphasis of working as a joint body being one. And from where we are, we're very confident that holding ourselves will not be doing two things different, one not knowing who's going where. We had target projects, knowing that we need to be providing files and certain services for those projects to take off, whether implemented by Gauteng or private sector, so the City of Johannesburg on board. We, as the following to Ekurhuleni, we have clearly got commitments with big projects that are running, which have yet not played. You have your flare off, which is running. You have your deep throat, which is running. You have your South East, which is running currently, which have yet not to last payment. So I'm very confident that when that time comes, we will be at the position on hostel. We're doing whatever best to start to reduce what you see as it being not being able to be allocated or moved from Gauteng. We put the time aside as of the end of this month going forward. COG is preparing working with Gauteng to take most of those unoccupied buildings, make sure that they are occupied and they get off the run of housing, but how to continuously do the monitoring and see if it's happening properly. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. MC, has Paula joined us? I think MEC and HOD, you should be noting this fact that Paula is not here. We would like to hear what happened. It's very critical for us to understand. That's the presentation, honorable members. From Gauteng together with its metros. I am now waiting to be guided by the honorable members by the show of their hands. What do they want to ask and why? They must tell me why they want to ask those questions. I'm going to start with Honorable Baum, Honorable Ghana, Honorable Khurai, Honorable Ada, Honorable Tole, Honorable Baker, Honorable Papa, Honorable Mugangatrashe, Honorable Lemezi. I must ask, why are you doing Honorable Shannon? What's wrong with you? Are you raising your hand or are you sitting down? Okay. Honorable Shannon, Honorable Lemezi. In that order, who did I start? Honorable Mabam. Can we start? Clarity, questions? You are noting, officials, you are noting, so that then whoever will be responding, you among themselves. Let's start.
Thank you, Chair. I extend my gratitude for the presentations that have been made. Firstly, by the MEC and the HOD. And also I must thank our chairperson for having sounded bells of concern to the province for what was quite worrying to the Human Settlements Portfolio Committee, the understanding. MEC has sort of mitigated their pace by his quite enthusiastic and elaborate explanation before the presentation. Now, it makes it very sort of tough that when he has mitigated on the problems that we have identified, now you still see problems. But however, having said that, it is a state of revolt and uprisings and demonstrations are quite worrying. The papers are still clamoring about the unrest that the people are embarking on because of lack of service delivery, lack of housing, and the relative and the related issues. It would be interesting to know, despite the explanation given, as to how they are going to curb this unending clamor for service delivery, for housing delivery. Even as early as the 13th of March, there have been problems at places like Swanville. There are areas even like and places like that. The people are still demonstrating. How are we going to get that? We are going to local government elections, and we need to quickly quell these fires. How does the department plan to calm those waters, because it looks like how thing is on fire. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chair. And thank you very much for the presentation and for the problem of the two metros for coming. We really appreciate it. Obviously, the MEC attempted to anticipate the questions that they're going to ask and try to see if we can answer it. But as long as I didn't get much of those answers. My first question will go into the introduction. One of the things said that we requested was for the province to come and tell us about the rectification. All we got from the report, it's one line that is, when expense taken 1.1 billion, we are going to spend it on rectification. Due to the aid loans, that's a lot of money. 1.1 billion. Nothing is said other than that line. The only thing we got is that now 500 million was spent on assessments. I don't know what assessments of asbestos roofs are, or what an assessment is. Is it a replacement? Is it just to go and check and count how many asbestos roofing there are? And the other thing, especially with the aid loan, I will take it that the priority was on subsidy houses that were made, and not prioritizing the private dwellings, and some of them were extra bonded, bonded houses that we might have used taxpayers money to be sold. It will be interesting to get that report and share as a request, because it's difficult to make much reading from one statement that says we are going to spend 1.1 billion. And in the report itself, there's nothing that speaks to that. What the report speaks to is that no, we wanted to deliver, say, 12,000 houses and we took 1.1 billion. We are only going to do 21,000 housing opportunities. And our request that the full report on the rectification around the health home be presented. Because I'm sensing that there are two things that are being mentioned that might not necessarily be related. Obviously, the asbestos roofing were there before the elbow. And then the department says that they are going to spend, or they are willing to spend, or they have budgeted to spend 500 million on asbestos arrangement. I'm not sure whether the project was ignited by the hailstorm or the project started after that. And then the second question is, it's around the mine count. The department comes here 14 days before the end of the financial year. And they say, we spent a lot of time and we didn't know how to spend this money. We're not sure how to spend this money. That's what the department came here to say. That's why we've only actually spent on one project. But then from what the HOT was saying is that they keep spending in some projects or there is progress. But then from the report that was given to us, there's nothing. There's only one project that was done, which was better than. Nothing was done in Rabo, according to the report. No money was spent. I'm not sure if the department, the HOT, says there are houses in Kuto. The houses are built in Kuto, they're waiting for quite the assurance. But we built those houses and we didn't spend anything. That's what the department is saying. That they built houses in Kuto that are waiting for quite the assurance. But the reporting part of us is expenditure zero. I'm not sure how many you made those two.
And then the second point, the second point.
I know it's difficult to count.
Yeah, you see,
that's why you got zeros and housing. It was counting, the counting problem.
Yeah, I was educated in Lubombo, so and we didn't have textbooks.
I think the point that I wanted to raise on the money count, it's about the capacity. Because if it can take the department so many months to figure out how to spend that money, I'm just using the word that was said by the HOD today, because the money, but we did not know what we should spend it on and so forth, and it took time to start spending the money. And it will be interesting to see if there is a unit that deals with it. And then this one is not included in the report, the MEC. And you just spoke to it. You said the department was about to collapse when you came. Sitting opposite you is a former MEC of housing and housing. And I once asked this question unofficially. What are we doing with the hotels in Soweto? There are four of them, you know MED, Midland, Duvet, Orlando West, and Deep Cloof. We have built, they are there. If the Soweto West one was in place, you would stay. What are we planning to do? And I'm glad that the MLC of housing in Joba is here. Because this is one issue that for me, I don't think it's fair that the houses are there, they have been staying for so long. The middle one and the Joba one, more than 5 years, took like 6 or 7 years. Joba will confirm. And I just want to know from the province, what are you doing with those houses? And finally, just a general point on the...
And I hope it's your final one.
The final is across the board.
Yeah.
You see, I see a lot of things that the USDG is being spent on. Ekurhuleni put 31 million on debt repay. USDG goes to real estate. So something doesn't make sense. I thought real estate is people who sell, I mean, the JAB will come and say they are selling and buying houses. Ekurhuleni put 31 million to buy and sell houses on money for USDG. Please explain to me how that works. And Joven, please explain to me how you take your DG money, you lose it for Joshua. Because Joshua is a different thing. Joshua should be working with Ra. Joshua should be working with Ra. But then you took money for USDG, you're spending it on Joshua. And then you see other things. Plan is not here. and I'm glad that the researcher has picked this up. So I think the man for USDG agrees to me. The researcher picked it up, and I did not pick it up. So I didn't understand how this money gets there. We can go to many line items here. That some of them, I don't really understand much in terms of how this money gets to be spent. It seems like we get these billions, and then we say, each department, come and look, whatever you can take, you take. And then at the end of the day, we know that no, we have spent 90%. But if you look at where we are spending, it's quite interesting. Real estate. It's what you do, the problem.
In that area.
And one thing that minister has, the MEC has said is to say, in terms of the USDG, with a discussion with the metros and the municipalities in the area, the ministers will have an input on how to allocate the USDG. I'm not sure that is not going to be one of the delays in terms of service delivery. And then the other issue that I want to raise, it's a very important one, perhaps it can lead to my first point, the lack of capacity. I think for me, lack of capacity and also how to plan is a serious issue in Gauteng as a whole. Because, I mean, if you're looking into the records and what is happening in the meantime, but it's not clear. This new vision, you know, there's a new vision that all the municipalities want to come up. And I want to agree with MTM to say that means Gauteng will continue to have a lot of protests and it will continue to be unstable and see all those unrest in that area. I'm also very interested, HOD, in your presentation, you made mention of regularization of expired and invalid contracts. But what you don't come out clearly is to say how much money has been put aside for that and how many units or housing opportunities will emerge out of that. So I think you need to be very clear. Chairperson, the something that the governor said, this money in town, this upgrade of this informal settlement, we have a set budget for the upgrade of informal settlement, and most of these informal settlements, there's some part of that informal settlement program by the National Department. But again, the human settlements, we put the money aside to say we're going to upgrade the very same informal settlement that has been, K-HAS for in the other budget. So I need clarity there. I will not ask this question again, because I think I did ask last time the same question.
So you have to, that should be your last question.
Okay, that's fine. But remember, you, last time you said more questions when you are here.
We can be a candidate, but that's why we're giving us. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. But I think I'm very much concerned with HOD. In our conclusion, I think, let me summarize, I'm not going to ask another set of questions, but I think planning, in Gauteng is a serious issue, including all those three metros. It has to be revisited, otherwise the spending is not going to increase, because if we're planning the same way, using the same model of planning and expect different results, that is highly impossible. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Gwanda. Honourable Stolling.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, we must...
Do me a big favor. Do the hotel last.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, we must thank the department. But, Chair, I am very disappointed. I am disappointed because I am from Gauteng. I know what is happening in Gauteng. The report doesn't talk to what is happening down there in Gauteng. First of all, the 1.4 billion, it was not spent. The MEC says they are going to spend it. Only 3% will not be spent. Is that possible? I don't understand. I have a problem of sort of final services provider by the Eburuven. How much are they going to sell? Another chairperson is that one. In Mkhali City, if they're talking about headstone, we still have houses which are not being repaired since 2010, 2020. Something has been in that area. They were promised that in 2005 when they were allocated to temporary measures, they will be reallocated in 2008. Until today, level players died in the temporary measures. What is happening? What is happening for the province? Because they are still there in those temporary measures. And I don't see that. I have a concern, Chairperson, because if you go to Cape Town, the informal settlement next to the place in Cape Town is terrible. Anything can happen at any time, like Huso and what can in those informal settlements. What is the province doing? Our chairperson actually did this thing very disturbing in a melody. I think chairperson left to call the city of Swan. Because without that, they are defining the committee, the mandatory committee. There's a lot of issues that we have to get that need to be addressed by the city of Swan. Because if you go to Mamelodi, chairperson, in what you said, people were there from 2008 until today in terms of structure. They are sharing one toilet. 100 people sharing one toilet.
Thank you, Madam Rustale. Madam Rustale.
Thank you. Okay. Mine is brief. Because when I see, for instance, the example of in Randfontein, where you have 0.6.7 billion and they have expenditure, I think, zero. That's one example. Now, my concern is when we end up having the comfort of being able to explain why there is poor expenditure or poor performance. But now, like further, to be convinced that how is this going to change? Because if this is a trend, I'm not convinced that there are ways or means that are convincing that this situation is going to change, this performance is going to change. We know that Gauteng is known to be, we think that it's supposed to be our best performing province. We know that it's being given a lot of money, but now I want a way to address that this situation is going to change and how it's going to change and make it a bit better. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Baker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this entire report is extremely disturbing. If you look at it, Gauteng as being our most financially vibrant and viable province, and we have such a report, then I really, really fear for what the rest of the country is up to. The figures paint a very, very bleak picture of service delivery. I don't even need to go into detail of each of the measures. If I just look at the opening figures, and sorry, Emilia, don't share your fear of over-expending, because the whole report is a bleak picture of under-expenditure with no, I don't know, there's just no service delivery. If I look at the revised targets, for me, that paints a very worrisome picture. When the revised targets are so much lower than the original targets, and then our actual performance to date has been still such a very low percentage of the revised targets, what are we actually doing? How much service are we actually providing? If I look at the HSD delivery and expenditure on HSDG, our revised target is only 30% of the 72% of the original, and our performance to date is only 36% of the original, and actually 49% actual. That is extremely, extremely poor performance, and actually shows up in our hope of actually performing on targets. Just the report itself is worrisome. As Madam Chair, you know, I'm always pedantic about the actual figures that are reported. And if I look at actual performance, December, total delivery, 12,633. Actual performance as of 12th of March, 12,477. Did we demolish 156 units over the past 3 months? How can March's figure be less than December's figure? Doesn't make sense. And that seems to be telling throughout the report. Ukulele, Ghana raised some concerns about Honorable Ghana. My apologies, Honorable Ghana. Raised the concerns about the ISCAT agents. How about MPD, Madam Chair? Ekurhuleni Metro Police Department. Do we spend jurisdiction police departments? This is really, very, very troublesome. Disaster management. That is a big problem. When did we realize that disaster management should have its own budget? It's a competency of COFSA. That is not something new that was just decided overnight. why were we not utilizing a disaster management fund? And if you exclude the 1.4 however many billion that was taken out from our 4.4 billion, that even paints a bleaker picture of delivery. Madam Chair, we've got a big problem.
Thank you, Honourable Baker. Honourable Salem.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm looking to the challenges, especially in Metro Municipality. You see, once a budget being allocated to the municipality, and if the procurement section is not functional, surely that budget won't be spent. I'm looking now that you are saying there is a challenge in procurement section and the change of committees, but I'm not getting the focus as to how are you going to overcome the problem of the procurement section. And surely no budget will be spent, because these are people to make sure that whatever is given to the department is spent accordingly. And the second one is the issue of loss in technical capacity. Well, I did not get a definition what type of loss. Is it a death or is it a resignation? If this is a resignation, what are the causes of this resignation? Because engineers, project managers, are the only person to assist in implementing and spending on budget. The last one I had, you were speaking about the CRU improved approach, but I did not get clearly. If you can explain more, what is an improved approach for this CRU development? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The underspending and poor performance really, and to some extent, I've seen certain programs that are zero spent. That on its own says to us, we are really not taking seriously the NDP, outcome 8 of the NDP. Because if we underspend so much and in some program is spent, why do we keep those managers in the office that are responsible for those programs? How can you sit in an office for 12 months, get salary, get a 30 check, get all the benefits, and you are given a budget to spend, and bold and be bold enough to put zero spend? How practical is that? I mean, it's kind of zero, not. But I found that after seeing the meeting in year 3, I found that from sub 8, and I found that sub 8, it's kind of zero, shooting not. And people enough and just put it. And you sit in the office, you come every day, 364 days, you end up 364 days, and you are telling us that you have to spend a cent on the money for to serve the poor of the poorest in the province and in the metros. That's metros are spending zero, and in the provincial department, who is monitoring quarterly? To the last quarter, zero. Right. And in the 3 months that the metros still have enough quarter to spend money, would like to get an indication, because the HOD did not tell us what is the estimated
cost that is going to be spent by end of the financial year. We want that. On your land acquisition, in the entire report of the province, there is no mention of HDA. Are you not utilizing HDA to assist you in relation to buy the well-located land and also be able to spend money? But also, when you talk about it, there is no mention of the provincial land that must be released by the province through working with human settlement, working with public works, which is in the custodian of the public works. There's no mention of that. In your report of the province, there's not a single mention of the expropriation of land. The MEC has powers. After having the department negotiated, including the real estate, with the real estate at the level of the metros, to purchase some land that has been settled from those private owners, negotiated, failed, and then you have the right to expropriate. There is nothing, there is not even a process that is going on in that. The rollover of funds. To us, the rollover will end up in the metros as a fiscal dumping. And with the metros, they will be left with only 4 months. What is 3 months? From first of April. April, May, June. Yeah, 3 months is just 1/4 for the metros to spend that money. The province has clean books. You close the books, you are clean. And then when the time comes for the metros to close their books at the end of their financial year, they are not clean. And then when auditors come, who has a problem are the metros, and the province doesn't have a problem. We have a problem with that. Stop the fiscal dumping, province. And we've been telling our national to stop fiscal dumping to you, provinces. Everybody must stop. If the money must be transferred in national, the USD that we're saying to the national department, to the national department, that lot of USD digitized were only transferred this month metro. And we know that your metro won't be able to spend that money. But it's not an excuse for not spending the money, even in a quarter. But if you don't spend money in the first quarter, surely in the second quarter, you must spend money. If you don't spend money in the second quarter, you must not end up with a problem. But also your planning, for the next financial year, must start at the previous financial year, so that when you kick in the new financial year, you are able to spend the money. Even if you're spending on planning issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, at least somebody is speaking for the metros. I'm sure they are mining inside. Honorable Memezi, questions, Honorable Memezi, and try not to be tempted to answer if you can.
No, thank you very much. No, I'll avoid answering. I think the MEC has done the answering. So I will be asking questions from the side. I think we must start from that angle of clarifying why we have invited the provincial department and the metros. Indeed, it is our interest. In the end of 5 years, we give housing opportunities amounting to 1.5 million. That's the reason we are asking you questions. Otherwise, you know you from Gauteng, I wouldn't love to ask you questions. But because we want you to achieve. Now maybe to clear one point, MC, we don't measure your delivery by the progress. It's a mistake if you thought
if there's no protest. Go to the rural area, they don't protest. Do you think they are being delivered?
Nothing.
So I think you are missing it. So you need to be talking. So we measure the budget spent. That's what we check.
If
in Ekelsal, the poorest community, the money that is budgeted for that area is not spent, there's some other project is zero. You can't say, no, don't worry, there's no protest. So please, we want service delivery. So the report should indicate the plan in this project. We planned so many units. We have delivered so many. So the protest, while we also don't want protest, but we want delivery. I hope MC Bobo, where I understand, he delivers to us. He delivers. So that's what we want. The moment the delivery is not moving, definitely we'll call you here. Even if there are no projects. Because the money given to Gauteng, which has a history of delivering, you know the reason we're asking you, it has a history of delivery. That problem, we know. Now, all of a sudden, now it's counted among those that are worried. Then it is a problem. So there, I think all the regions, MEC, all the regions, Western region, Gauteng, which is one of them, Ekurhuleni, all of them, the projects that are counted there, there's no movement. So that is our worry. But also, HOD, the report, if you have prepared the report in a hurry, the report is not really giving the picture of how you plan to really deliver, how to throughout how day. So even when you go to, let's go to my municipality called Mohale City. So I didn't see any project there. It's a mining house. I didn't see any mining project there. Nothing. And yet there is home settlement there. There are long-term plans, projects that I know. Including what Member Jolly was talking about. You know, he's talking about the whole campus of hospital. There are beautiful houses there that are built. They are there already. They are built. I don't think who built them. But they are there. They are built. People are not given. So, people are not given those houses. So I'm saying, those are the areas that would be the same in Eswani. When you go to Winterfell, when you go to Mabuhani, around Goa, there will be houses that are there, but are not given to people. So I'm saying, those are the things that the province can claim achievement. So maybe look into those because they are there for you to just claim those delivery. I think the point indeed taken is that the key for us, the main worry, is your poor performance, really 21% in Gobek, 43% in Tswane, and also spending at the wrong time. No, remember, the budget is for core functions. You can't take the human settlement functions for something else. I think that worries us. So that's the biggest worry. It should also worry the MC. That you have given money for human settlement development. You take it elsewhere. I think that is a worry if you can solve. Indeed, if there's a problem about the capacity, you are losing too many people are running away. It is proper that you must give us a plan. You must also tell us why are people running away. You see, so because you can't, then without engineers, you may have problems because you are in a very congested problem that needs engineers. So then,
thank you, Honorable Minister. As I hand over back to the MEC and the delegation to respond to some of the questions. One is to really say the general concern that we had around Gauteng, even after the presentation, had not made us feel better. I think it is the committee. You might have tried your best to try and make us feel comfortable, but the reality is that we are not. I think we need to know that and take it with you. That we really are not comfortable. We think Gauteng has got the capacity to do better than it is doing. And we hear all the mitigations that have been put here, but we are not really convinced. As everybody has put here, there seems to be some gaps that seems to be dealt with. But one of the bigger things that everybody has raised, which I think the province must deal with it and let us know how they are going to respond to that, is how the metros are allowed, together with the National Department, how the metros are allowed to use the USDG grants for things that they are not supposed to use it for. Very critical for us, as the Metro of the Committee, because this lack of, not really understanding what it is that needs to be done by the And also, we want to assure the national and the professional studies that don't try to accuse us. Unfortunately, we call you here because we saw red flags. And unfortunately, we have been called, I think I must let you know, that we have been called earlier. Unfortunately, this portfolio committee, it never traumatizes to come here. It can change because you come here. So as you give us this report and tell us that you are going to do better, remember, in a month's time we will be in housing. And the things that they are telling us, yes, when we get there and we find that they are not there, it's going to be a big problem for us. So don't try to tell us things that you think we need to hear. Because we are coming to housing. We are coming to housing to do an overtime visit for the whole week. And one of the things that we will be doing now, but as we have told you in the report, is to actually target the areas that we told us in the report to see for ourselves that are these things really happening. So if you are going to respond, put that in the back of your mind, that this committee will be falling down on campaign in the next of our 5 minutes. We will not tell you when, but we are coming. Respond.
Let me make a point and allow the HOD and the MNCs to remark. But a very important point I'd like to make with honorable members. One is that, let me apologize for the absence of the MNCs. We will take care of that. Now, Chair, the point I'd like to put before the committee for consideration in the context of this discussion is that we could present on the quarterly report or report of the last quarter. And in the remarks that I've made, pointed out that indeed we come from a very difficult period where there are any number of points and confirmed in the report itself that point to promise. The audit outcome of the last financial year put the departments at the same level with GP fleets. So and of course the Department of Health, but and let me say that department was outcomes were very worried. So we have considered the point. We are not at any point, defending what we have. When I started, we had a concession. We do have problems. Now, the question that I think we should perhaps look at is, to what extent do we want to focus on what we see as the progress of the last quarter? Versus whether the department has
demonstrated or is likely to demonstrate capacity to move forward. For me, those are the two issues, because the points that honorable members are making, we consider them apparent that indeed we have challenges of expenditure patterns and of outcomes. We have considered, we have the problems of coordination with municipalities. We have considered. Last minute is talking about protocols to deal with the relationship between how USDG spends and the role of provincial government. We have considered that point, that is going to help us. Now, so the point I'm trying to make is, I think we should say, it's important for us to account on the work of the last quarter, but where do we want to go to? Now, I've said to honorable members, and this is just a few points I want to make, that in the last month, we have worked with our municipality chiefs to do integrated planning. And I said, since September, we've been having conversations with municipalities. And I've said we have produced a perspective which includes new cities that we're going to build in the province. And that this we are launching on the 7th of April. I've said, honorable members, we will be signing MOUs with all municipalities on how we are going to do integrated planning on the 7th of April. What we did not present here, and I'd like to take your remark, the last one you made about coming to Houdi, that when you come to Houdi, allow us to present our turnaround plan and where we want to go to. Because this was not that session. But if you have to ask us, let's see, then we'll confirm that indeed we have a series of consultations and discussions. We have agreed to work in an integrated manner. The quarterly report is not based on that principle of municipalities and the province working together in a manner that we have defined over the last 4 months. So I'm saying that, and even the remarks by members of the portfolio committee, I could say, I got a sense of comfort that we have pointed out an indication to improve. But then there's a concern about the third quarter report, so where do we want to focus? And for me, I'll be very much happy that when we come, let's be forward-looking, because the points you are raising and emphasizing are not in dispute, but we have a challenge. There's no argument about those issues. So the only response I wanted to give here was to indicate that that we are not in a defensive mode. We have upfront considered the issues. And when honorable members come to Houting in the next month, we will present to you our plan to move forward and to improve our performance. Now, if you want to use this opportunity for that purpose, I'd like to assure my honorable members that on expenditure, we are satisfied that we'll be able to spend all our money. We are left to 3%. We submitted all invoices. And by the way, honorable chair, this is not fiscal timing. What problems did we have in the department? We have had a history of paying suppliers who do not have contracts. In August, we said we are bringing that to an end. It caused a massive problem in the department and with our suppliers because we were not used to that. The target that we have achieved of making sure that all our money is spent was not fiscal dumping. I'd like to assure members about that. The report on the hailstorm. We have a full report on hailstorm, but as you would have seen, even when we are presenting, the time is not enough. So I'd like to add that we will give you a breakdown, a detail of hailstorm expenditure, which areas are many targets. And I think we'll answer all questions when you do the visit. So I'm proposing and requesting that the report on hailstorm be a standalone item and that we have an opportunity to brief you in detail on the hailstorm expenditure and including the asbestos. Let me just indicate that at the time when the hailstorm happened, the assessment of expenditure was added to that program because most of the roads that were damaged in the different areas, mostly were hailstorm roads. And then this program of hailstorm, I mean, of removing asbestos, has always been talked about, it has always been there. But when it happened, when the hailstorm happened and the program to hailstorm assessment, I mean asbestos assessment was added into that program. So the two were done together. Even myself, when I came in, we had to force officials to separate the two items because they were always reported as one. And we said, no, let's see what is hailstorm, what is asbestos. So that's what I'm conceding, that matters in great confusion. We will come back to it. But here, to conclude, I am strongly of the view that we shouldn't spend much on the quarterly reports because we consider those points. We should, in the next engagement, look at our program moving forward and the technical capability by creating the department to make sure that our department performs better. And just the last word to Honorable Memes is that, you know, sometimes when time is okay, there's what is called a time lag. So problems that could have occurred today, they are ripple effects over time, could show at some point in future. So for example, the hostels. These hostels were built, the literary journalists to say they were built while she was still in high school. Now is a citizen experience journalist, the hostels are still not handed over. I have commissioned, and I'm pleased to report this to members, I've commissioned an investigation into what are the reasons why all these hostels are not handed over across the province, so that we don't give them piecemeal. We find one policy, one report, what are the problems that across all of them, what needs to be done so that we don't deal with them one by one. That report, as I'm speaking to you now, I've received a preliminary report. It will be finalized, I think, in the next 2-3 weeks. We will give you a report when you come back. Why are hostels not being handed over? How many? Where are they? And what is the situation with all of them? The same thing with houses. We have inherited houses built, not handed over. We have spent money protecting them, security. Some don't have bus services. They can't be handed over to people. Some have been damaged. They have to be repaired. Winterfell, there have been houses in Winterfell, I don't know, since NES. I think the colleagues from Swan is the cool, they help me with that. But dating back to more than, I think, 2005, not handed over. Now, if you can have a department that can have properties not handed over for more than 7 to 8 years, examples are many. I can go on the list. We have also commissioned how many properties are completed cannot be handed over. Some of them have been invaded, taken over by non-deserving people, without cases in court. Now, I'm trying to say the point of a department that has a crisis of functionality and of being efficient and effective. I can go on with examples. If you announce that you're going to do some bit of forensic and compliance, non-compliance investigation, and 3 DDGs leave hardly within 6 months, then you know that there's something wrong in the system. So, the one I'm trying to paint here is we could decide to go dig into the past, including on our municipality spent on USDG. The reason why minister felt there should be an intervention on protocols how to spend USDG money, precisely because there are problems. We are waiting for those outcomes. It will help us to work with our municipality to intervene on the USDG observations that members have made. So I'm really appealing to members that I think the visit to Gauteng gives us an opportunity to look at our presentation. We will make a presentation to you that we made to our EXCO, a presentation that we have made to the portfolio committee, a presentation that will be quite willing to make to you about how do we see our work moving forward, including technical capability to deliver. But I'll allow colleagues to clarify some of the issues, but from where I'm sitting, I'm happy with the feedback we received. That seem to be direction to improve, but of course, if we are locked up in the third quarterly report and we only focus on that, how will you know what to say because we have considered those issues? We're not even being defensive about them. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nimpe. I'm hoping that members are noting the things that have been chronic, so that when we get the, we remind hotels that we have chronic as ABCD. Now, I want the response to come from Metros before the HOD, so the HOD is the last one to respond. I'm going to start with Eguruleni, and don't forget to talk about real estate, Eguruleni, otherwise members there are going to have a heart attack.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. Maybe I just have to concede, I think I was here even last year. Yeah. I think the Oversight Committee did raise an issue about the Eguruleni. I think that was elevated to the minister. Hence,
the meeting with the mayor of the metro to ensure that there are conditions attached to a USDG and that everyone does actually comply. I think moving forward, that's the process, because I think probably wanted it to be written in black and white. We kept on raising it, I think, basically. And I think in relation to real estate, parks in the government is part of the real estate. The establishment of parks in the previous disadvantaged areas is but one of the functions of the real estate, and parks demand is actually paying to it. And that is also part of infrastructural development. And so I thought it important that I should read that. The other thing, Chair, in relation to...
Real estate is about facilities
of the metro, paths, symmetries, grass cutting, I think the whole range of issues. I think you can get a detail as to what the function of the real estate in every lending is all about, so that even an allocation moving forward can be able to exactly see as to whether we are actually not spending well improperly. The second thing here is around the capacity issue that we have raised as a governor. I think in an endeavor, as Metros having got a lead audit as a government, we wanted to ensure that we sustain clean audit. So we underwent the process of ensuring that we review our supply chain processes so that are in line with the law and regulation that are in place. That in itself delayed the whole process of appointment of service providers, hence been a delay in expenditure. However, we secured an intervention in relation to external service provider. I think our cover as well is to say we're using GPSA as one of the government entity to come on board on a short-term intervention whilst we are finalizing the issue of capacity. I think in our next current meeting, we are going to adopt our institutional review where we are bringing capacity. So we're going to make it too, so that we move up. But the other issue, Chair, was also the delay on the process of the adoption of some of the policies within the municipality, one of them being the retention of critical skills, which led to some of the engineers who have gone through greener pastures. So we also are in the process of finalizing those policies. But the last straw on our side was technical capacity, which led to the almost collapse of road department in the Gorilla as a result of suspicion and so on, which was effectively not, there was no department at all. But that has since been addressed. And we are confident that process moving forward, indeed, we're going to be able to begin to address the issues, but we will in detail give all remedial processes and what's going to be done and can be submitted to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No, we wanted to speak before the MC, but because we knew he wanted him to do the program. Briefly on two things, I think we will
please. I allowed him to speak because he
has fully support what he said, because as he says, if Gauteng was to present on what is called turnaround and plan, this committee will then have seen another picture, but because we are here to respond on certain things. You have correctly said to Chair the SDG grant and usage of it. I can tell you, as we debate, as we say, what is it used for, as we look at the book, what does the book say? Then you then say, what is human settlement? If I produce a proper human settlement, what is that must put? If you talk of mixed development of housing, how do you bring your poor if you did not provide for banking that cash last year? If this must meant for that, then it means it's correct if you use it and bring social housing and other to intervene. And so that interpretation is needed perhaps some time.
at a particular stage. Because sometimes what is resentment, a place where they are parked, a place where they are distant, if you put that money there, then it's asked, why do you do this? I'm just saying, first we clarify that. We need to talk fellow management. But let me go to Cape Town. And I'm sure the MCF already covered. As you visit there, I think I can give you with metros what is called action, practical program that this committee can come and see. When they in May, we must allocate in the short women hostel and the group hostel. If you come there in May, we'll show you that. Practical, no theory, no stories. Then you can say this thing is happening or not. Let me leave it at that stage, allow that presentation. We have accepted, the mayor said it yesterday, the mayor and to the minister, as to Council of Development, saying to look at protocols. I've accepted that has been planning wrongly. The approach of your first three quarters, you are low, your last quarter, you are up. We said that thing must change. We must plan as 3 years now allowed to do so, so that you spend unstoppable. You don't spend on wrong pen. That would be that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. SOG?
Thank you very much, Chair. A number of the questions that were raised have been responded to. I think what I would just like to touch on is that we do appreciate the comments that have been made by the honourable members, and we have taken notes on those issues that have been raised, issues of planning, issues of performance, issues of integrated planning. And I must say, Chairperson, we will improve a lot. There are a number of areas where we should improve, and we will work very hard to improve in those areas. And when you get the quarterly reports as they are presented to you, you will see the difference change. And we will use all the resources that have been put to us. We will engage with HDA. We already started doing that, engaging with HDA, engaging with other departments like DID. And we work very closely with our metros, and we know what their needs are, they know what our needs are. We have requested them to prioritize our mega projects in their allocation for USDG, and it is something that we are happy that at last the planning is done in a coordinated fashion, and if planning is done in a coordinated fashion, surely even implementation will follow suit. And I just wanted to apologize to the honorable member who, when looking at the actual performances, looked at those figures and they appeared as if the figures had dropped. The problem is that we did not total them when we were talking about the total achieved as at 12 March. We put those two figures of 2534 and 12477, which is an increase to 15011 as opposed to 12633 in March. The only thing is that we did not total it, and I'd like to apologize for that. The general concern that the committee has that they are not yet feeling comfortable or they are not getting the assurances, I think it gives a chance to package the information differently when you come to visit the province later, Chairperson. And I think a lot of issues will be cleared in the portfolio committee. And the question that has been requested on the issue of disaster, a full report will be submitted to the committee on the disaster. I am sure that National will make sure that report filters through to here. And Chairperson, I would like to say that we will work with the metros to see how we can assist as well with the expenditure on the USDG in the remaining months. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any work from the National Department? Mr. Chana?
There's nothing much to come, Chair, except to say that yesterday
3 o'clock, Minister met with all the mayors at the airport, and we spent a lot of time discussing the utilization of the USDG program, and I think Minister and the mayors agreed on how we're going to manage this program going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Emerson, I saw you intending, you want to say something?
No, okay. I think the members of the portfolio committee will note the issues that they've raised, and as I said, we work on a principle of continuous improvement, and I'm quite confident that we will improve our work and things will be different. And on the protest, Honorable Mbeki and Honorable Members, Gauteng is managing protests very well. Our intention is not to stop them, because they are guaranteed in the Constitution. Our issues is interact with communities when they raise their issues. What makes me happy is that when we interact with them and respond, these protests stop. So that is the practice on the issue, that the polemical issue that Honorable Mbeki was raising. Their demands are very legitimate and genuine, and when we respond to them, they become okay, like their stuff. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. I think at this point in time, Honorable Members, on your behalf, it is proper that I thank the provincial department together with the networks for raising us. When we called, they came. I mean, the letter to say they might come here, we sent it only a week ago, but the response was really very positive. They did not ask us why you are giving us such a short notice. They just came. And I think that's very critical and important to note, because it also talks to this issue of good relationships amongst ourselves in trying to improve the service delivery of our people. Ours is to really make sure that as part of our oversight work, if we feel that there's things that we do not understand, we will start. And we are really happy that you came. We might not be happy with what you said, but the point is you came. That's very important. That next time you will come and behave even when it was with me. So you start from somewhere and you get from somewhere. So we are really, really happy. The only thing that we really want to caution you is to say, we are watching you. Yeah. You must not know as well. We are watching you. We are watching you. And you must just know that you are 24 hours watched. And that then means that even before we go to the oversight visit, we must interact with you with things that we do not understand. Even before that. Because the aim here is to make sure that there's improvement and there's happiness all around about what is happening. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for, at some point the National Department was saying, why do you want us to come here because you've called from the said, no, but you must come, because if they say things and say, no, you can't ask the National Department, they are not here. It's a compliance, they are here. So thank you very much for that cooperation among everybody. We hope that it will continue being like that. And we are watching. The meeting is adjourned. Now, before that meeting, before you leave the house, I wanted to make sure, first and foremost, that everybody is full compliment in this meeting. I just want us to take a moment. As you all know by now, that we have lost a minister who passed away in a car accident. I think that it will be proper for this committee just to stand up and give a moment of silence for Minister Colin Chamane. Thank you very much.